The text is actually the introit for the last Sunday in the church year from Psalm 39. I'm reading 4 through 8, although they skip verse 6 in the introit. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, and that makes this the Christian New Year's Eve. Most societies, past and present, have year-end festivals. Such festivals usually focus on the past being swept away and beginning anew. Well, today, the end of the church year, our focus is different. We focus on the fleeting nature of this life. Did you catch that in the sermon hymn? Can you believe we sing a hymn that says we don't want to live always in this life? We sang this: the few lurid mornings that dawn on us here suffice for life's woes, are enough for its cheer. How different this note is from the country song that says, I'm going to live forever, not going to cross that river. Even if our hymn didn't upset you, the prayer in the introit should. Can you believe we pray for the Lord to show us our life's end, the number of our days, and how fleeting our life is? This prayer tells us two things. One, unless the Lord shows us how fleeting our life is, we will believe the song that says we're going to live forever. Two, only the Lord can really show us this. In Psalm 139, we're told that the Lord is the one who knows every single one of our days before we've even lived one of them. He knows the exact number of them. So when the doctor says you have 6 months, he doesn't know that. Neither does the doctor know who says you have many years to live. Same goes for those life expectancy tables. They say if you're this age now, then you can expect to live X number of years more. You'd better expect to do no such thing. At least, not according to this text. According to this text, no matter what your age, your lifestyle, your health, your blood pressure, or your cholesterol, your Lord wants you to know that your life is fleeting. Like an ember popped out of the fire quickly goes from orange to ashen, so are you. Like an ever-rolling stream, time bears all its sons and daughters too away. As quickly as a dream flies out of your thoughts at the opening of day, that's how fleeting your life is. That's not all. The Lord has made your days a mere handbreadth. That's a unit of physical measurement. Actually, it's the smallest natural measurement. A handbreadth is 4 fingers. You know how when kids are small, they'll stretch out their arms and say to you, I love you this much? Well, regardless of what your doctor, your heart, or your mind is telling you, your Lord is telling you that you have this much, 4 fingers left to live. But even 4 fingers may convey too lengthy of a life. The Lord goes on to say, each man's life is but a breath. Now that isn't a reference to the last breath you're going to take. That's a reference to breath on a cold glass pane. It fogs only for a moment, and then it's gone. That's your life. That's my life. That's everyone's life. We're no more enduring than a breath of air on glass. Don't like to hear this, do you? I'm doing to you what the ghost of Christmas future does to Scrooge. Do you remember when it takes him to the graveyard? The climax of the scene is not when Scrooge sees Tiny Tim's gravestone. It's when he sees his own. Now, if you read the book or you see one of the movies that are faithful to the book, you'll notice that the ghost of Christmas future makes it plain to Scrooge long before the graveyard scene, that he's the one buried. The ghost takes him by his own house, to his own deathbed, to people he knows happy about his death. Yet Scrooge doesn't get it till he sees his name chiseled in stone, and then he's totally undone. That's what I'm doing to you. Or more accurately, that's what I'm doing to your old Adam, your sinful nature, your sinful flesh. Your sinful flesh will not believe and does not want to hear that it's going to die. Your sinful flesh fights for life, and even at the thought of death, as much as any wild animal that is cornered and knows it's about to die. You know what gospel to that sinful, what is gospel to the sinful flesh? It's this. If you watch what you eat and do your exercises, you will live longer. And this is gospel to the flesh. Your mother, your father, your grandparents, they lived to a ripe old age. You will too. And this too is gospel to the flesh. You can reduce your risk of dying by doing this or not doing that. Sorry, the risk of your dying is 100%. Hebrews says, it is appointed. That means it is decreed. It is determined for a man to die once. It's ashes to ashes, dust to dust for us all. The first death, apart from some grand miracle of God, as in the case of Enoch or Elijah, is absolutely unavoidable. Even if you eat a vegan diet, exercise like Lance Armstrong, and get every preventive medical checkup you can think of, you're still going to die. What a downer of a message. Who wants to be told this? No one, but you need to hear it. You need to be told your life is fleeting, no more than four fingers in length and a hot air on cold glass, so you might focus on the one who is eternal life. The one who is true life has never willed for you to live forever in this fallen life. After the fall, he placed cherubim with flaming sword to stand outside the Garden of Eden. Now, why did he say he did that? I'm quoting, lest man stretch forth his hand and take from the tree of life and live forever. This is gospel. The Lord doesn't want you to live forever in this fallen life. He does not want you to live forever in this vale of tears, in this land of sorrow, in this old order of mourning, crying, and pain. Now, once you're to the point of confessing with Holy Scripture that your life is fleeting, a mere handbreadth, a vanishing vapor, that cannot be extended by anything you take, do, think, or believe, what hope do you have? Or what's the psalmist's answer in the intro? My hope is in you. There is no hope in a healthy lifestyle or even in health itself, because that can change with one lump or just a bump on your head. There is no hope in medicine or even in your age. Death is no respecter of age or medicine. Young people die, and people die with medicine in their mouth. Your hope is in the Lord who made heaven, earth, and you too. You know why? Because the Lord who made heaven and earth and you too didn't stay in heaven. He took on flesh and blood in the womb of a virgin, not for the purpose of living a healthy lifestyle, but for the purpose of keeping the law. The reason these flesh and blood bodies are a few days and born in trouble is because God's just judgment is against it. Adam and Eve were created perfect. Had they remained perfect, they would have lived among us today. But they sinned and we inherited that sin. And God's righteous judgments against sin is death. So under a death sentence of death, these frail bodies live out their few days. Jesus entered our flesh and blood to live under our death sentence, all the while fulfilling the holy law of God that had to be kept. Satan and the world did all they could to make Jesus sin, in thought, in word, or in deed, but Jesus didn't. Yet still Jesus died, not because he sinned, but because we do. And Jesus didn't just die a painful, humiliating physical death by crucifixion. Jesus died that second death, that eternal one. Jesus died the death where a person burns and burns and burns but doesn't ever get burned up. Jesus died that death where a person is devoured by worms but is never eaten up. Jesus died that death where a person is cast out from God without pity, without mercy, without hope. This Jesus is your hope in the face of death or in the face of a difficult life. This Jesus is your hope when your flesh says, it's hopeless. This Jesus is your hope when your sins say, it's hopeless. This Jesus is your hope when all the world says to you, it's hopeless. This Jesus is your hope when your days fly by faster than the weaver's shuttle or when they drag on hour by dreary hour. Why? Because this Jesus is the only one who can save you from your sins, from your death, and from your damnation. Remember Paul's divine math in 1 Corinthians? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Your death stings because you are a sinner. Your fleeting life bothers you because you are a sinner. You know you are a sinner. You feel you are a sinner. You taste that you are a sinner because of the law. You don't do away with the law by a healthy lifestyle, taking medicine, exercising properly, or eating rightly. Only in Christ is the law fulfilled, taken away from hanging over your head. You can't find even one commandment that Jesus didn't keep for you. You can't find even one commandment that you must keep before you can go to heaven. Where there is no law, where is there sin? And where there is no sin, where is the sting of death? When death is regarded as the greatest evil, you live your whole life focused on it. It must be feared. It must be avoided. Anything must be done to outwit it. But where death is defeated, the story is different. One of my favorite Bible passages is Hebrews 2, verse 14. It says, through death, Jesus destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You know that slavery, don't you? Always giving death its due. Always wondering what this new medical study, what this new diet, what this new exercise program can do to save you from death. Always trying to make it so your life is not fleeting, more than a handbreadth, or longer lasting than vapor. Away with such slavery. You've been freed by Christ the Crucified. You've been freed to live focused on Him. That means you're free to be a pilgrim here. You're free to be one just passing through. You're free to be a stranger and a sojourner as the people of God have always been. Here you do not seek a lasting city. You don't seek an enduring home here. Jesus has redeemed you for far greater riches than this, for far more beauty than this, for far more life than this. You can live your life focused on your King who is coming back to get you, rather than the death that is out to get you. New Year's Eve is a symbolic hour of mortality. On it, many people stop up their ears at the incessant taunting of death, of the death that is out to get them, by crying, let us eat, drink, and forget about death for a while. Not us. We don't focus on death, but we don't forget it either. We ever want the Lord to show us our end, how fleeting our life is, so we might know that life cannot be found in us, but only in connection with Him. We don't celebrate by forgetting about death, but by remembering what life really is. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.